call upon his name. Remember that we need him. We're desperate for him. Would you sing with us?
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Upon the lowly, I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness.
You are the same. You're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. Yeah, sing it. You are the same God. You freed the captives then. You're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. You are the same.
Good morning, church. My name is Michael Tropea. I'm one of the pastors here. Apologize for my voice. It sounds like I just hit puberty at 38, but I want to take a moment and welcome you here. Generally, if you're new with us, generally what we do is we sing a few songs to catch our gaze on Jesus, and we share a word, and we respond accordingly to what the gospel has done in our lives. But today's a little bit of a different Sunday. We believe that we don't just get to pray, but prayer is a posture of our hearts, and this is a prayer Sunday. And what do I mean by that? It's called International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And so what we're going to do today is something a little bit different. We do it generally once a year, where we partner with other churches all across the country and the world, and that was actually last Sunday, but this Sunday we're actually doing this. So we're going to have a few videos we're going to show about different countries around the world. We're going to have a few different prayer elements of individual congregational prayer. We're going to ask a few of you to cry out and call out and pray. We're going to have one of our elders pray over things as well, and we're going to get into small groups at various points. But here's the heartbeat that I want us to catch today. This is not just a write-off Sunday. This is something we get to press into the heart of God and stand alongside brothers and sisters around the world that don't get to do this as openly and freely as we do. Men and women and kids that live in situations that are just hard, and because they call on the name of Jesus and the governments that they live under aren't following the decrees and the goodness of who God is, they live under oppression and persecution, and we're going to stand in solidarity with them and press into the heart of God together. One of the points of scripture that I was thinking about as I was thinking about this time is the church had been growing, but persecution had been growing as well in Acts. And in Acts 12, it says this: about that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him. You see, they knew something was up to put that many guards, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Prayer was their first response to stand with Peter. And if you know the story, miraculously the angel shows up, Peter gets freed, they're amazed at what God has done. And I believe today, as we press into prayer, I believe brothers and sisters around the world, God will move and give them peace and comfort because we are praying together as a church, united with them. And so what I'd like you to do is to take this moment seriously, take these moments seriously. We'll be singing a few songs in between. Let prayers continue during those times, but let our hearts be clinging to a God that hears our prayers, and we can stand alongside people that are in various different spaces being persecuted for their faith. And here's the first video, kind of lay the foundation for the day, and then I'll come up and kick off the first country.
Jesus said, "On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses. When they arrest you, do not worry about what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Persecution is as real for the church today as it was for Jesus' first followers. Every day, millions of Christians pay the price of witnessing for Christ. And these are the top 10 countries where faith costs the most. Number 10, Afghanistan. With the Taliban checking people's phones for Bible apps and Christian messages, believers risk arrest, interrogation, and even death. At number 9, Iran. Simin hosted a secret house church, until one day police raided her home and arrested her. She had to flee the country to protect her family. Pakistan is at number 8. Christians live in fear of lies and mob violence. Lazar, a 73-year-old Christian, was falsely accused of blasphemy. His home and business were destroyed. Brutally beaten, he died from his injuries. Number 7, Nigeria. According to Open Doors research, more Christians are killed for their faith in Nigeria than in all the other countries of the world combined. Attack survivors run for their lives. Millions are displaced, enduring desperate conditions, unable to return home. At number 6, Eritrea. Christian leader Paulos knows he could be arrested at any moment. Eritrean prisons are notoriously brutal, and many Christians do not survive. Sudan is at number 5. In this war-torn country, more than 100 churches have been attacked, and believers have been abducted and killed. Christians who are displaced often face discrimination when aid is given out. At number 4 is Libya. In Libya, converting to Christianity can cost you your life. Anyone leaving Islam risks violent pressure from their families and communities to renounce their new faith. Christians are kidnapped and even killed. Yemen is number 3 on the list. There are only a few brave Yemeni Christians. Zara used to work alongside another believer to disciple secret Christians, until he was murdered by extremists. But despite death threats, she carries on. Number 2, Somalia. All Somalis are expected to be Muslims. Step away from that path and you pay a high price. Christian converts are violently targeted by community, the authorities, and jihadists. And at number 1, North Korea. Still the most dangerous country in which to be a Christian. Having escaped this prison nation and found freedom in Christ, Ju Min made an incredibly brave decision. She would return to North Korea and share her newfound faith. If she's discovered, she could be sent to a labor camp or even killed on the spot. More than 380 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. That's 1 in 7 believers worldwide. Each day, they bear witness to the light and life that is found in Jesus Christ. But the risks are great, and the price is high. For 70 years, Open Doors has supported our persecuted church family with crucial aid, Bibles, training, and long-term care. Your prayers, your gifts, your voice can bring hope to believers in places where witnessing to Christ costs everything.
So that's the top 10 list of countries where persecution is faced around the world. But one of the ones I wanted to highlight is up on the screen is Nigeria. If you've been following the news for any bit of time, Nigeria is present in the news. And one of the things, numbers that I heard this week was just in 2025 alone, 7,000 Christians have been killed in Nigeria alone. Like that number said, more than all the other countries combined. That's a present reality. Some of the things, what persecution looks like, and I want you to think of, when we talk about persecution, I just don't want it to be this abstract concept for us. I want you to think of faces. I want you to think of souls. And here's what it looks like in Nigeria. Jihadist violence continues to escalate in Nigeria. Fulani fighters, herdsmen, Boko Haram, and Islamic State West Africa province are the ones who target attacks. They increased under the rule of the former president. In the epicenter of targeted violence against the church, the government's failure to protect Christians and punish perpetrators has only strengthened the militants' influence. Their attacks are shockingly brutal. Many believers are killed, particularly men, while women are often kidnapped and targeted for sexual violence. More believers are killed for their faith in Nigeria than anywhere else in the world. It goes on to say, the persecution of believers is most common in the northern parts. Down in the southern portion, it's predominantly Christian, but in the northern central parts is where a lot of persecution happens. And so here's how we're going to pray. Here's how we're going to pray. We're going to take a time of individual prayer. There's going to be silence in this room. There's going to be some prayer points up on the screen. And what's going to happen is after a few minutes of silence, the worship team is going to kick off in a song. But I want us to continue to press in even when the song comes on. Because God hears our prayers, and there's men and women and kids that are suffering under this persecution. So here's three ways to pray. One, for those who loved ones who's been killed or abducted. Two, to work in the hearts of Nigerian leaders to protect Christian citizens and communities. And three, millions of Christians and others who have been displaced by this violence. So if you would just take a few minutes, and then the band's going to play, but continue to pray individually where you are at this time.
Whatever posture you'd like, stand, sit, kneel. Let's continue to pray. Let's let these lyrics guide our prayers in unity together.
Changed. اسمي ياسين وأنا مؤمن بيسوع المسيح. اخترت عدم إظهار وجهي لأنه قد يعرضني أنا وعائلتي للخطر إذا تم التعرف علينا. لقد قضيت فترة طويلة من الزمن أذهب بها إلى الجامع وأستمع إلى الملالي، وهذا كان متوقعاً من قبل أصدقائي في القرية حيث كنا نتنافس على الذهاب إلى الجامع، ولكن كانت هذه مجرد عادة وليست عبادة حقيقية. لقد كنت أتجادل مع الله كثيراً، قلت له يا رب إذا كنت فعلاً موجود أنا لا أريد أن أخطئ، أريد أن أحيا معك، أطلب منك أن تظهر نفسك لي. بعد مرور سنتين من الطلب المستمر بدأت أقلل من ذهابي إلى الجامع، وقلت مرة ثانية يا الله إذا كنت حقيقيا أرني علامة، أريد أن أحيا معك. في أحد الأيام وبينما كنت نائما رأيت حلما، حيث رأيت شخصا قادما نحوي لا أستطيع أن أصف جماله. وضع يده على رأسي وقال: أنت ولدي الحبيب، هذا هو الطريق، اتبعني. حكيت صديق المستمع عن الحلم، قال لي إنه من الشيطان، ولكن في قلبي عرفت أنه ليس من الشيطان. كان لي صديق مسيحي في القرية وكان قريب جدا من والدي. ذهبت إليه وأخبرته عن الحلم. قال لي: أستطيع أن أشرحه لك، هذا هو الله يظهر نفسه لك. أول مرة قرأت الكتاب المقدس بكيت بسبب الكلمات الجميلة الموجودة فيه. النص الأول الذي قرأته كان إنجيل متى الإصحاح الخامس، عندما أعطى يسوع الموعظة على الجبل. لقد غطيت عنوان الكتاب المقدس بشريط لاصق، كنت أقرأه كثيرا في البيت وأولادي لم يعرفوا ما هو هذا الكتاب، لكن عندما بدأ سلوكي بالتغيير سألوني لماذا تغيرت. قلت لهم: لأنني أقرأ الكتاب المقدس. وكان هذا بمثابة صدمة لعائلتي. قالت زوجتي: الله سوف يحرق بيتنا بسبب هذا. في أحد الأيام أخي جاء لزيارتي، أخبره الملا أنني كنت أقوم بتوزيع الأناجيل وأنه يجب أن يمنعني. قام أخي بمحاولة قتلي عدة مرات. لقد قاموا برمي قنابل نارية على بيتي وتركوا رسالة تهديد مكتوب فيها: إذا لم تترك الديانة المسيحية سوف أقتلك. عندما ذهبت إلى الكنيسة قاموا بمساعدتي لأصبح مبشرا. تلقيت تدريب حتى أنمو في الإيمان وتلقيت الدعم هناك. يسوع بنفسه قال: الخراف تعرف صوت راعيها. الكنيسة هي صوت الرب، والرب أعطى الكنيسة لنا. يسوع أيضا يقول: ومن يختار هذا العالم والحياة يخسر حياته، ولكن إن تخليت عن حياتك من أجلي تنال الحياة الأبدية. ولهذا السبب يسوع أصبح أهم شيء بالنسبة لي. وكنت أشعر كأنني خروف في وسط ذئاب، لأن الناس لا يعاملوننا بشكل جيد بعد الآن، لا يتكلمون معنا، وعندما نخرج من البيت يهينوننا. لكنني أعلم أن الرب لديه مهمة لي لأجلب البشرة السارة إلى قريتي. جربت عدة مرات أن أغادر، لكن الرب وضع في قلبي البقاء. أعلم أنه يريد أن يستخدمني هناك.
Iraq population is 47 million, and the population for Christians is 187,000 people, which is around 0.4% of the population, and the main religion is Islam. Iraqi Christians face increasing pressure from various groups, especially since the rise of Iran-backed Shia militias following the Islamic State. While the Islamic State still poses a threat, attacks from Turkey and Iran, airstrikes and ground operations have devastated mainly Christian villages, forcing many to flee and leaving communities empty. Different Christian denominations such as the Assyrian and Chaldean churches are all affected by discrimination and violence from militant groups and government authorities. In central and southern Iraq, many Christians avoid displaying religious symbols due to fear of harassment. Pressure on converts from Islam is intense, often forcing them to hide their faith. In 2023, two converts faced severe backlash after sharing their beliefs online. And recently, after a decision of the Iraqi government, the Kurdish regional government cut seats for religious minorities, diminishing their representation in the government.
Who is most vulnerable to persecution? Most Christians in Iraq reside in the northern provinces, such as Mosul, Erbil, Duhok, and northern Kirkuk. Few remain in Baghdad and Basra. The situation is particularly challenging for Christians in the south and center, where most have left, except for a small group of converts from Islam and a few Christians. During my time in Iraq, I witnessed firsthand the harsh realities of Christians facing persecution for their faith. These believers, like so many others around the world, are living as modern-day martyrs, remaining steadfast in Jesus despite unimaginable hardships. So on the screen, we have some prayer points for Iraq, and we're going to move into a few minutes of congregational prayer. Where we are asking for a few of us to pray out loud from our seats so everyone can hear. And we'll start.
Father, I thank you that you are a great God, and we are all under your authority, the authority of the name of Jesus. I ask you for the generation that was born and raised in persecuted situations and war, and famine and hunger. I ask you, Lord, to rise up workers to go and love on this new generation, Lord, that they deeply are searching for healing, for truth, and for the one true God. And Father, thank you that we can trust you, that you will rise your church in prayer and in going and sending, Lord, workers to the field to keep expanding, Lord, and to keep bringing the true hope that is in Jesus Christ.
Yes, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the hope that we have in and through him. Father, I ask that as we continue praying for the persecuted, that you would soften our hearts and give us eyes to see what's happening to your people in the world. Thank you for what you have done, and thank you for what you will do, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sometimes the children are there, innocent babies are there, and some mothers are there. So sometimes we are running like this, sometimes we are crying, and you know, we are running because of shooting on the way. Sometimes we are running days, sometimes we are running the whole week, searching for safety and survival.
The brutal civil war in Myanmar continues to rage on with no end in sight. Civilians have been bearing the brunt of the violence, many subjected to horrific attacks, killings, and mass displacement.
Whenever we run on the forest, we just make this type of pipeline, and we just cover, and then we are staying inside. And if they saw, they see it, they will bomb it again. Behind, there's a lot of bombing are still going on, but at the first time, there's no water, and there's no food, and the children are crying, you know, and they want to eat, they want to drink, but there's nothing. As humanly speaking, you know, sometimes we feel that God is not with us. Unlike the monastery, they always targeted and attacked the Christian churches. Due to the situation of this Myanmar, my church members are scattering everywhere. There's no phone line, and there's no internet access. To the pastor, we feel very lonely because we are away from the people, and the church members are becoming down in their spiritual life, and they're mentally, even spiritually and physically. At the same time, the pastor is very difficult to visit them, because if we go outside, anything and any time at any place, bombing and shooting can happen. Being a pastor in this town is very challenging and lots of difficulties. There is a God that can do everything. God is showing us that He is with us, and He is still sustaining us. They motivate us with the Word of God, and how to even keep the children, how to encourage others, how to help people who are suffering. Seeing all those godly friends remind us that, oh, we have still a friend who are praying for us. That is our strength, so that we can move on and serve. We want to cry out. Sometimes, you know, we want to give up. But all those things encourage us to keep on moving and serving to the Lord. Lord, this is your people that you have given me to lead out of from this danger. So please be with us, and please help us to live for you and share your glory.
We have the privilege to pray for Myanmar this morning. They're formerly known as Burma, and it's just north of Thailand. 54.9 million people live in Myanmar. The main religion is Buddhism. But with that, there's 8.7% that are Christian. That means 4.7 million people in Myanmar know the Lord and follow the Lord. Yet they are the target in the civil unrest that's going on. For about 5 years, there has been violent attacks and civil war going after a military coup. And that leaves the Christians often in the crossfires between the government and the political parties. The Buddhist monks are attacking a lot of the Christian villages. That's where they find a lot of the attacks coming. So you see here the pastor speaking of the churches fleeing. And, you know, we get to sit, we come, we know where we're going to church. We know where our believers are. We know all of these things, and they are displaced constantly. A lot of times the Christian aid workers that are going are being targeted, and a lot of the aerial strikes are hitting the Christian areas and the villages. The predominant Buddhist villages are trying to hold tight to that so that the Christians can't continue to grow, yet we know that they are. There are lots of Bible schools and other ministries happening. They're there illegally, but we definitely want to pray for them. The beginning of the service, we prayed, we sang the song, "You Are the Same God." He is the same God here. He's the same God in Myanmar. And I love that we get to pray that they're standing on his faithfulness. And this morning we get to pray standing on the Lord's faithfulness to them as well.
Yeah, we're glad to get to pray for Myanmar this morning. I guess about 20 years ago, while we were living in India, we did get to spend an afternoon in Burma at that time. We had to run across the border with our 4 and 1-year-olds to get our visa stamped. So not significant time there, but definitely that part of the world is dear to our hearts. So let's pray together. God, we just this morning lift up those families that are hiding out in the jungles for fear of their lives, with thirsty babies and hungry kids. God, we just hurt with them this morning, and we just pray for your grace and mercy on them. We pray that you would first, just fill their hearts. God, give them the strength to know that you are there and you have not forgotten them. Give them strength in the inner being. And God, we just pray for physical miracles as well. Lead them to food, lead them to water, lead them to safety. Pray that you would care for them, that you would let their pastors find them, that you would bring unity there. And God, we pray for the persecutors. We pray for these government officials, the army, these Buddhist monks, these people that are identifying and persecuting and killing. God, I pray that you would just crash on the scene of their hearts, God, that you would convict them that what they're doing is wrong, and that you would give them a fear of you that would then bring peace to these believers. And God, we pray for the government, God, that you will even change hearts there, that they would see what's being done is wrong, and that you would cause changes to happen even at the highest levels. And so today, God, we just lift this country to you, to pray for your hand on it and for the Christians and believers there to not just survive, God, but to be able to thrive and spread your word so that many more would come to know you. In Christ's name, amen.
Has torn the veil. Come on, we sing. we cry, we fall face down and we worship. We all cry out, you are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. Yes, we crown you, God. We fall face down and we worship. We all cry out, you are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. Upon himself all our guilt and shame, hanging on a cross. For the world he loved with his precious blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
Purchased man for the shame of the cross, to the Lamb who was slain as atonement for us, to the Son who overcame all the power of death, we praise. Lift it up, and for the stripes, for the wounds.
Yes, come on.
For the merciful, wonderful Majesty, your love. To the one who endured all the shame of the cross, to the Lamb who was slain as atonement for us, to the Son who overcame all the power of death, we pray. For the strife, for the wounds, for the pain you bore,
Cuando una persona nace en un ambiente de persecución y toda tu vida has estado viviendo bajo ese ambiente y aceptas a Cristo como tu Salvador, sabes que la persecución para ti va a ser, pudiéramos decir, un reto más a enfrentar. Tuve la oportunidad de pastorear varias regiones de mi país y cada una de ellas tuvo trabajo, sus desafíos también. Toda medida que el gobierno aprueba, por lo general, va en contra de los principios bíblicos. Y es ahí entonces donde surge este conflicto. Un conflicto que ha venido teniendo entre la luz y las tinieblas, porque la iglesia se levanta como luz. Y es por esa razón que el gobierno desea silenciar la voz de la iglesia. Tuve la oportunidad de pastorear una iglesia en la cual se nos amenazó que iban a confiscar la iglesia, nos la iban a quitar, porque es así. El gobierno permite que se pueda dar cultos en las salas de las casas. Entonces un hermano vio la posibilidad de que tuvieran ese local ahí de reunión, solo que la membresía comenzó a crecer. Ya la sala queda chiquita. Entonces, ¿qué haces? Hay lugares como el pastor que comenzó así siendo una casa y se fueron rompiendo las paredes de la casa porque la iglesia comenzó a crecer y se llegó a tener todo el espacio de la casa como culto, como templo, como casa, porque ya no había un lugar en el que había pasado, sino que todo era la iglesia. Y es cuando comienzan las amenazas de que nos iban a confiscar el lugar. ¿Por qué? Porque ellos dicen, no es porque dan culto, sino es porque ustedes han hecho modificaciones en la vivienda. Allí comenzó realmente una persecución e interrogatorios en la vivienda y muchas amenazas. Te sientes muchas veces con temor, te sientes muchas veces nervioso y con esa responsabilidad que Dios te entregó esa casa en tus manos, que si la pierdes, la iglesia del Señor, se está perdiendo el local de la iglesia que Dios te entregó. Pero Dios se manifestó de una manera maravillosa. Estábamos en casa cuando llegó alguien con un abogado para ayudarnos con los trámites legales, sin que tuviéramos que pagar nada, porque no teníamos dinero. La estrategia de intimidación es una de las mayores que ellos usan. Ellos llegan a tal momento a intimidar tanto al pastor a través de interrogatorios, citaciones y amenazas para el gobierno. A tal manera que el pastor llega un momento a sentir miedo y temor, no solamente por él, sino también por su familia, porque las amenazas también son continuas. Ellos logran de que el pastor o salga del país, o hay otros que no, que han decidido continuar en el país y muchos terminan presos. Pero sé que hay muchos pastores más que han demolido el templo o han pasado por situaciones difíciles, pero no han dejado de predicar. Le han demolido el templo, pero se han congregado aún debajo de una mata. Ese ha sido su templo, ese ha sido su culto y Dios ha hecho cosas maravillosas.
I know this has been a heavy morning. I also know that God's people have always been forgetful, and I'm really grateful for these reminders this morning. Also really grateful to be a part of a praying church, and it's encouraging to pray together as a praying church this morning. And so as we think about Cuba, it's a population of 11 million. The main religion is Christianity, which makes up 61.2% of Cuba. And these things that this pastor shared about have been going on since 1959. Cuba has been ruled by the Communist Party, which tries to control the church. But some things have changed, and this is why we're praying for this morning. Lately, this year, Cuba's humanitarian crisis grew worse as mass protests against the government's repressive regime continued. Government action against dissidents increased. They have targeted church leaders and Christian activists who speak out against human rights abuses and who support protesters. These leaders often face hostility, including arbitrary arrest. So we're going to put some things up on the screen for us as a church to pray for. And this time we're going to pray in groups of three or four. So if you'll get in a group with the people around you, and you're going to pray out loud with that small group for about 5 minutes. And when that time is over, our worship team will lead us into the next song. So if you would, go ahead and get in groups of three or four and pray together for Cuba.
stand and let's remind ourselves of the God who is over all. He's seated on his throne. The work is done.
Lord,
God, I thank you. I thank you that we can come before your throne and you hear us, not because of anything we have done, but because of everything your Son has done. The one who came down from heaven, walked as we were supposed to walk, faced persecution to the point of death on a cross that we deserved. But that death didn't stop you. You rose again over the grave, and we can approach your throne because of that. And God, because of that, I pray for us right now as a people that this is not something we do once a year where we stand with our brothers and sisters around the world, but this is something we pray on our knees daily for, that they walk through. But God, I want faith like that to stand in the midst of persecution and still hold on. And I pray for them right now that they don't waver, they don't fall back, they don't drift from holding fast to you. Just like what we're learning in Hebrews, that they don't drift, but they hold fast in the midst of the persecution. God, we get to worship openly, and that is a grace. And thank you for allowing that. Help us not treat it or take it for granted, but help us just continue to be mindful that we get to sing, holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy. Thank you, Jesus. God, let us know that we are part of a greater family around this world that we need to pray and intercede for, and you hear our prayers. God, we need you. They need you. And I thank you for this time where we can come before you and lay these things before your throne, and we know that you're acting on them. God, thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' holy, strong, mighty name, amen. If you want to continue this in the days and the weeks ahead, there's actually a slide for us that you can text. I think it'll be up on the screen. You can text IDOP to 903-494-7731, and there'll be daily updates for you to pray on your knees and your time with the Lord. We want to put that before you. And if you need prayer for anything yourself, we have our prayer team up here. I would love to pray for you. If you're walking through anything yourself, we want to stand in prayer with you as we walk from here. Hey, thank you for joining in this. Thank you for pivoting from what we do. We get to pray to a God who hears, and that just makes my heart sing every single day. And we love you guys. Have a great week of worship. God bless.